We offer respect to Srila Prabhupada by chanting the pranam mantra to him, in which he is addressed as the person who is delivering the Western countries from impersonalism and voidism, nirvishesha shunyavad, from the impersonalists and the voidists. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, why the Western countries? Because actually Prabhupada preached all over the world. Srila Prabhupada said, that was because my spiritual master particularly entrusted the preaching in the Western countries to Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada, of course, didn't only preach in the Western countries. In fact, after starting his movement in the Western world, he actually spent more time in India. And he brought money from the West for preaching in India and establishing projects. But the pranam mantra, which he himself composed, his own disciples at that time being incompetent to do almost anything, Srila Prabhupada had to give them everything, including his own pranam mantra. So Srila Prabhupada composed this, and it followed the spirit of what he recognized in his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to be the essence of his mission. Srila Prabhupada wrote in English an offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. It's good if you can translate that. Absolute is sentient, param satya chaitanmaya, I guess you could say. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very... We need Tamil translation. There's no Tamil translation going on. So Akinchan Krishna Prabhu, please, Tamil, Akinchan Krishna, please go to him. And for ladies, I don't know. They have to work it out among themselves. So, this stanza was especially appreciated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So much so that he would show it to others, and he appreciated that this disciple of his, Abhay Charanaravinda Das, who we later came to know as Srila Prabhupada, had appreciated the essence of his mission. Now we may say the essence of his mission, or of any Vaishnava Acharya, is to preach love of Krishna. It's not simply negation. But there's no question of preaching, or there cannot be actual preaching of love of Krishna unless the negative is negated, because impersonalism and voidism is negativism, nirvishesha shunyavada. Nirvishesha is negative and shunyavada is zero. Both deny the reality of anything, which has just been proved by the loud sound of a horn. That's their comment on nirvishesha. That's our comment on nirvishesha shunyavada. Sounds like the kind of noise that comes out of your backside. So that's our comment on nirvishesha shunyavada. And actually they have that at the Devananda Gaudiya Math in Navadvip. The latrine area is called the Gyanakanda, where you pass stool. That's for impersonalism. And there's some mantras to chant. You can imagine that the propagators of impersonalism are just underneath receiving your charity in the form of stool. So should, yeah, so ultimately love of God is to be preached, but if love of Krishna is preached without negating the negative, then that will always it'll be apparently preaching of prema, but it will have no solid basis to stand on. That's why we see that there are many persons who may appear to be bhaktas, but they don't actually have any bhakti, because in their heart is the misconception that absolute is insentient. The ultimate truth is impersonal. We find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita the description of what appeared to be, or who appeared to be, a great devotee who was always chanting Ram Naam. He accompanied Raghunath Bhatta. He wasn't Goswami at the time. He accompanied Raghunath Bhatta and served him as Raghunath journeyed from Varanasi to Puri. Nowadays it would take about a day on a train, but in those days it would have taken much more time. It's not said which route he went on. You can either go through the jungles of Jharkhand, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, or you can go via the Ganga up to the south of Bengal, and then take the coastal road. Anyway, it's a long journey. Either way, difficult journey. So this Ramadas was constantly chanting the name of Ram. But when he came to Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't even recognize him. He didn't want to see him. He didn't recognize him as a devotee, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that within his heart there was the impersonal conception, which is actually offensive to Krishna and Rama. So presumably this Ramdas, as he's known there, he was a member of the Ramanandi Sampradaya, which is widely spread over North India, in which they are ostensibly or apparently devotees of Lord Rama. But they're all ultimately Mayavadis, or they don't believe ultimately in the personality of Rama. They'll talk about Rama, but they don't believe in him as a person. They'll chant his name. There are many ashram. They'll chant Ram Nam constantly. But philosophically, they're all messed up. And there are many like that. I mean, you have all over. In North India, you have Kabir, and people say, oh, he's a great devotee, but he's an impersonalist. So, actually, to preach prema, the prem pracharan or pashanda dalan, dui karja avadhut karen brahman, nityananda avadhut, traveled everywhere for two purposes, to preach prema and to subdue the atheists. Unfortunately, atheism often poses as theism. It's more dangerous. Atheism posing as theism, just like we have in modern Hinduism, so many charismatic, or some of them are not very charismatic, but people who promote themselves. This upcoming festival, Vyasa Puja, may be thought it's something to promote Bhakti Vikas Swami, but it's not meant to promote Bhakti Vikas Swami. It's supposed to promote Bhakti Vikas, but not Bhakti Vikas Swami. Bhakti should be expanded. There are so many, and so many of these bogus persons who are promoting themselves. And this is possible because Hinduism, as Srila Prabhupada described, is quite a brilliant description, or a graphic description, was a hodgepodge medley of ideas going on under the Mayavad conception. People have no idea what is the actual message of Shastra, but they have a vague idea that there's some kind of oneness from which everything comes, and that different swamis, their various different gods and different swamis, their different manifestations of the one which is ultimately impersonal. And you'll find like that many apparent bhaktas, just like recently quite popular in Gujarat, there was that one Pandurang Shastri. So he'd talk about Golok and Krishna and all, but he was completely Mayavadi actually. He would talk about these things and attract, he'd have pictures of Krishna, but then he'd say that actually there's no such place as Golok. It's complete impersonalist. And then people, previous to that, it was quite popular, there was this Dongre Maharaj, who people thought was a great bhakta because he was famous for speaking on Bhagavatam. But he was also a complete Mayavadi. If you just examine their, but no one looks at their philosophy. If you look at whatever little philosophical statements they make, expose them as the cheaters that they are. They're using the language of bhakti to cheat people and promote their envy of Krishna in the form of denying the personality of Krishna. So this should be opposed. Srila Prabhupada opposed that. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Nirvishesha means the impersonalist. Shunyavadi means the voidist. There's not much difference. It's a semantic difference, practically. The voidists, they say, there is nothing. And the impersonalists say, well, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. There is Brahma. That's real. That's true. But everything that we see and experience, that's false. And what is the nature of the Brahma which is Satya? Nirvishesh. It has no qualities. There's nothing to distinguish it from anything else, because there is nothing else. There's only Brahma. They misinterpret the Vedic statements. Ekam advitiyam. Eko Brahma Dvitiyam Nasti. They misinterpret these statements. So, Jagan Mithya, they say this world is false. How is it false? What's false? If we... Actually, all these cricket bats that are manufactured in India, there's one good usage that could be used for them, to give a good crack on the head to people who talk this nonsense. And then we will see if they'll talk about Jagan Mithya. We just gave your Mithya skull a good Mithya crack with a Mithya cricket bat. And now you can go to the Mithya hospital and get some Mithya stitching done on it. What's false? If they feel the pain in the head is false, what's false? They can say it's false. It's pretty difficult to imagine that it's false when... Then why do they do anything? I mean, why do they even propagate this idea? What's the point of propagating this idea among all the people who are all false? And everything, even the sound that they, if this world is mithya, then the sound coming out of their mouth is also mithya. So why do they bother eating? Why are they eating mithya? They're pretty good at that. Most of the Mayavadi sannyasis are pretty fat. So, they believe in Anna Brahma. As Srila Prabhupada said, the Mayavadis, they say this world is false, but they're pretty busy enjoying it. So how is it? We can say that it's not the ultimate reality because it's temporary, but we can't say it's wholly unreal. And then they say Brahma Satyam, and Brahma Satyam. But then they say there's no in Brahma. There's no form. There's no qualities. There's no personality. And what's there? What is there? It's actually shunya. It becomes the same as the Buddhists or Jains' idea of everything is not... Well, we can't say everything. There's only... You can't even say there is nothing, because as soon as you say there is, then there is. It's impossible. So then they say it's inexpressible by words. And they'll talk so many, they'll write so many books, and then ultimately it's inexpressible by words. Then why are they writing books? And what's the meaning of words, any words? They're all meaningless words, but then don't just keep quiet. And some of them do. That's the best thing that they can do, actually, is just to keep Mounavrata. We highly recommend it for all Mayavadis. Just keep quiet. That's the best thing you... If you're not ready to chant Hare Krishna and accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then best thing is just keep quiet. At least don't spread your nonsense. Okay, give that to me. Yeah, you can give it to me. This is supposed to be... There's a little curve on that which is supposed to be for cutting the heads of the Mayavadis, so... Quite appropriate. Thank you. Might as well hold this. You're supposed to hold a danda for 12 years, and then after that you're supposed to be a paramahamsa. Anyway, I didn't make it to the paramahamsa stage yet, so I'm still on the lower platform of talking about how bad Mayavad is. So, let us understand this. Actually, what they say is all nonsense, but it appeals to envious people. Why are people attracted to this? Because Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarga yanti parantapa. People are envious of Krishna. They have material desires. People enter this world to forget Krishna, not to remember Krishna. And Mayavad and Shunyavad are the most sophisticated methods for forgetting Krishna. Even the materialistic people may pray to Krishna, give us this day our daily bread. They may pray to him. But the Mayavadi, they may also pray to him, but they're at the same time, they're maintaining a conception that he doesn't really exist. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father who doesn't really exist. Please give us lots of money, which doesn't really exist, so we can enjoy this world, which doesn't really exist. That's the implication. Of course, nowadays people don't think about it much. They just become a follower, so-called, of these various rascals. But at least we should think about these things, because we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, who is the follower of his acharyas, and they've all tirelessly given us this knowledge. It may not be such a great credit instead of being an unthinking follower of some Mayavadi, we become an unthinking follower of the Vaishnava acharyas. Of course, it's much better. It's better to be in the right camp. That's for sure. But if we're not actually thinking and understanding, then we may remain as just like the Ram Das who was chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. But every time he chanted the name of Ram, he was increasing his envy of Rama by considering Rama some impersonal non-entity. So, we have to hear, who is Krishna? If we only hear about the Leela of Krishna, then it's quite likely that we will, or almost certain, that we will maintain the various misconceptions which we certainly have. Everyone has misconceptions. How can we say that? Well, we're in the material world. We're in the material world because we have various misconceptions. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. Icha dvesha samuthena. dvandvamohena bharata. We are in the material world because we have material desires, which are resultant of envy of Krishna, because in the pure state the only desire is to serve Krishna. And we have the duality of delusion. Actually, this monism or impersonalism, it's rejection of Krishna's supremacy. So actually we can't avoid, even if we say everything is one, we can't avoid Krishna. We can pretend to avoid Krishna, but ultimately we're, by saying everything is one, that means Krishna has no special existence. Krishna is just a manifestation of the impersonal. And we're also manifestations. And then we all merge and it all becomes one. So this is denying the specialty of Krishna, the nirvishesh. Krishna has no special qualities. We have not. Krishna's names, his forms, his qualities, his pastimes, his abode, his devotees, it's just all false. What could be more envious? So we do, even those who say that everything is one, actually they are dualists in the sense that they are denying Krishna. We cannot avoid, we cannot wholly avoid Krishna, even if we purport to do so, because we are inextricably linked with Krishna. Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. This is our position. We are inextricably linked with Krishna. We can deny that, but it remains a fact. So this idea, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, both propositions are absurd. How can we say the world is false? There's no real reality whatsoever. And then Brahma Satya, only Brahman is real. But what is the nature of that reality? There's no form, quality, activity. There's nothing there. There's only existence. But what is the meaning of existence? There's nothing to perceive, there's nothing to experience. There's only consciousness, but there's not. The impersonalists say that the ultimate reality is only consciousness. But consciousness of what? Not conscious of anything, because there isn't any, there's only consciousness. So there's only consciousness being conscious, but there's nothing to be conscious of. So it also comes to nothingness, ultimately. They say Brahma Satyam, that's truth. Brahman is truth, but it cannot be described, there's nothing to describe. It comes to the same thing as voidism. Everything is one or everything is zero, it comes to the same proposition. There must be diversity in reality. Otherwise, there is no reality. The Mayavadis, they say that drishya, drashta, and darshan, gyan, gyata, and gyaya, they're all the same. The seer, that which is to be seen, and the seeing, they say it's all the same. Knowledge, that which is to be known, and the knower, they're all the same. This is unimaginable and therefore absurd. This is mithya. Their idea is false. They say this world is false. How can you say it's false? What is the meaning of false? Something which is false should have no reality, no existence whatsoever. Definitely exist. There's existence. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to plan or do anything, just like you've all come here by getting on buses and trains and planes and you're able to plan something because there's something there. If there's no such thing as a bus, then how would you have come? It is absolutely non-existent. It's just totally non-existent. Then how could you have come? You may say, well, then what's the meaning of the word false? Something must be false, otherwise there wouldn't be any such word. But false means a misconception, just like the example of the rope and the... At night, if we're walking in an unlit place, if we see a rope which is lying on the pathway, we may mistake it for a snake. So it's our perception of it as a snake is a false perception. But there is actually a rope there. It's just that we perceive it incorrectly. And we're able to imagine it to be a snake because there is actually such an entity as a snake. So the rope is real, and the category of snake is real, but our perceiving the rope as a snake, that is false. So it's not a concept can be false. Misunderstanding can be a wrong understanding. That is false. Our perception of a rope as a snake, that is false. But it's not that there's nothing there whatsoever. If there is any entity, that cannot be called false. It cannot be called totally false, but then definitely our perception of it can be. But we cannot say that anything which exists is totally false. It just, the Mayavadi idea is that it just, we perceive it, but it doesn't actually exist at all, in no way whatsoever. Of course, that's so absurd that they try to justify it. They bring in some idea of vyavaharik, which, as Srila Prabhupada points out, is just word jugglery. They're expert at talking nonsense. So we should understand these things because this is what Srila Prabhupada taught us. This is what Shastra teaches us. We'll find in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these points are discussed. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhayaha avijananti mam murha manushintanam ashritam. These two verses, they deal with similar subjects. The idea that Krishna is a product of the unmanifest. This is rejected by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And that Krishna is the ultimate reality who has taken a human form. But that form is not actually Krishna. Those who think like this, Krishna rejects them as mudha, rascals. And there are many of them. Srila Prabhupada once commented that practically everyone in the material world is a Mayavadi. In Srimad Bhagavatam also, there are many verses which directly address these misconceptions. It's not something new or made up. It's not even that Shankaracharya invented this philosophy or this misunderstanding. He was simply a powerful propagator of it. But it's always there, in some form or other, in human society. So we find that the Vaishnava Acharyas, they strongly opposed these misconceptions. The first to oppose in the modern age, of course, when we say the modern age, we tend to think of the last 20 or 30 years or 50 years, but in universal time, we can say that the modern age is this Kali Yuga. So, in the modern age, Shankaracharya, well, that's only also, the last 1200 years or so. Anyway, he's been immensely influential. Probably in the modern age, the most influential person in the world is Shankaracharya, even though his name is not very well known outside of India. Even among impersonalist groups, they don't know his name even. And in North India, not so much known as in the South. And even in the South, people, some people have heard his name, but they don't know what his teaching is. And even his followers don't know what his teaching is. So-called followers. So he's been immensely influential because people in the material world, they're attracted to impersonalism because it gives them a feeling of being spiritual while at the same time they're rejecting Krishna. Feeling that, well, actually I'm God. And there are many people who, both in the East and in the West, who will shamelessly say, with great conviction, I am God. We've probably all met people, isn't it? Everyone's met someone who's told us, without the slightest doubt, completely convinced, I am God. They say, we've probably, definitely, preachers of Krishna consciousness, they meet people like that. Once, this was many years ago, in Philadelphia, in USA, one man came to our temple, ISKCON temple, and he was looking and looked like he was very happy to see everything. And then he came to the temple president and said, I'm very happy with everything that you're doing here. You are worshipping me very nicely. Another fool and a rascal. But he was content thinking, I am God. So it's nice to think like that if you're a fool and a rascal. People take comfort in that, thinking that actually I'm God. All these people don't understand, but actually I'm God. One day they'll understand. So they go along in this dream, and eventually they get old and die like everyone else, and they go to Yamaraj, and this way they still don't learn. So yeah, the Vaishnava Acharyas have very strongly contested this. This Sri Rangam is the headquarters of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Now there were many Alvas or great saints, we can say, of the Vaishnav Sampradaya, before Ramanuja. But he is considered or is accepted as the Acharya, Sampradaya Acharya. Even though there are many great persons who are considered in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya to be, one of them is the appearance of Lakshmi, then others are the forms of Garuda, or he's an Alva in himself, or they're appearances of the Lord's paraphernalia, Sudarshan Chakra, so they're very great persons, but Ramanuja is the Acharya because he gave the philosophical position which is accepted by the Sampradaya on the order of Yamuna Acharya, one of his 18 gurus. He had 18 gurus for teaching him various things, including his mantra guru. But they taught him various things. Was it 18 gurus? I think so. Or was it 18 times? Anyway, he had many gurus. So, he is the Acharya because he gave the philosophical position of understanding Narayana as the Supreme Person, not impersonal. He contested this idea. And Madhva, even more strongly, contested. He wrote his Mayavada Khandanam, for instance, and in his Sampradaya, very strongly, Hari Sarvottama, Guna Purna, Nirdosha, that's like the philosophical mantra. Hari is Sarvottama, he's above all. He is full of qualities, not nirguna, as the impersonalists say. And nirdosham, there's no fault in him. He is perfect in all respects. So these are the Vaishnava Acharyas. They establish this point in opposition to the Mayavad, impersonalism, and voidism, which is more or less all-pervading in this material world. That is required. Otherwise, unless that teaching is there, then even if people ostensibly come in a Vaishnav parampara, they'll become immediately Mayavadis. As soon as we stop to preach this point, then immediately everyone again becomes a Mayavadi. If we don't preach this point, no one ever becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness. And you can see it. This, in this Sampradaya, for generations, this Ramanuja Sampradaya, generations they are very strongly opposed to the impersonalists. This here, Sri Rangam, is the headquarters, the main center of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And not very far from here is Kanchipuram, which is also a major Sri Vaishnava center, but which is also the center of the Shankara Sampradaya in Tamil Nadu. So for centuries they were opposed. And recently, for various reasons, they gave up their opposition. They don't teach the philosophy anymore. And you'll find the members of the Sampradaya, they'll go to the temple of Sri Rangam, and so many of them in their house, they'll have a big picture of Sai Baba. Or Kalki avatar was somewhat popular down here. Got a little popularity, so-called Kalki avatar. And so many bogus things. because they're not taught what the actual understanding is, then automatically they'll pick up the wrong understanding. Any human being can be claimed as God. Why should they go to Sai Baba if they have Ranganath? But they don't know who he is. Unless we hear and understand and we can clearly understand and delineate who is this person, Krishna, then we'll take anyone can show some power. We say we think that, but that's the point. We don't think. Thinking stops. As soon as we stop thinking, or if we never start thinking, then we'll think the wrong thing. The Vaishnava Acharyas give us the proper understanding, and if we don't have that, then we're going to have a misunderstanding, and if we have a misunderstanding, then we don't have bhakti. Because bhakti begins with understanding who Krishna is, not misunderstanding. We can say everything right about Krishna and just say one thing wrong and it's all spoiled. As I've often told the story, or related the anecdote, in 1989 at the Ardha Kumbh Mela at Prayag, one evening I happened to be walking past huge pandal where there's one of these Shankaracharyas. There's so many Shankaracharyas, people call themselves that. He was lecturing, packed, I mean thousands of people there. So he was speaking on how we have to take shelter of Ishvara, we have to chant his names. And then he was telling some leela. I thought, well, it's pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Sounds like bhakti. I thought, well. Then he finished his lecture, and you should all understand that you are God. Finished the lecture. So everything he said was good, except he kept on speaking about Ishvara instead of saying Krishna. But then the conclusion, you are God. Then what was all that about bhakti, taking shelter? How can you take shelter of yourself? What is the meaning of that? It's meaningless. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. How can you take shelter of yourself? It's meaningless. It just renders the whole message of Shastra meaningless. And it is meaningless. To think that I am God is meaningless, because we are not God. And of course the Mayavadis will argue that we are, but actually there's no need for a big argument, because it's obvious. God means all powerful. We are not all powerful. It's obvious. I mean, should be obvious. It's just absolute insanity. It's ridiculous. It would be a joke if people didn't take it seriously. To think that I am God, it's just madness. But it's considered acceptable for a sane person to say that he's God. It should be illegal. But it's going on. And people think, I am God. And they're allowed to preach that everyone is God, which is another meaningless statement. How can everyone be God? And then there's no meaning of God. But if we don't think and understand correctly, then we must think and understand incorrectly. Therefore, we should understand. Who is Srila Prabhupada? What he came to teach? Impersonal is absolute. What is that? Impersonal is sentient. What is that? Absolute is sentient. thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. This is nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatan. This is what Prabhupada came to teach. That's described in the one book, the Hare Krishna Explosion. Srila Prabhupada's explosion. How Srila Prabhupada exploded in anger. That his initial followers, they'd been coming and listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures for weeks. But they were attached to impersonal ideas, and they didn't, even though Prabhupada was always talking about how Krishna is the supreme, impersonalism is bogus, because this impersonal idea, it makes a kind of cloud in the consciousness by which everything that goes into it just becomes fuzzy, unclear. So that even if you hear Krishna is supreme, it just comes into your consciousness and gets mixed up with that, and that, oh, okay, Krishna is supreme and everything's ultimately one. Somehow everything gets negated by this strange idea that all is one. And you're able to keep within one's muddled consciousness various misconceptions and think that, yeah, they're all okay. Whatever anyone says, it's all okay. It's all true. Everything's true. If you say Krishna is God, that's true. If you say Shiva is God, that's true. If you say my grandmother is God, that's true. If you say I'm God, it's true. Everything's true. Everything's true. I've many times told that anecdote. I was telling an anecdote of Prabhupada. I'll just go. I many times told that once walking on the street in Patna, I came across some students stopped me and asked, what is this? Why are you dressed like this? And I was explaining Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One man came up and listened. He listened for a few minutes and then he interjected angrily, why do you say Krishna is God? He was angry to hear this. Why do you say Krishna is supreme? Everything is supreme. Everything is God. He said. So, some pigs were running on the street. So I said to him, do you accept that the pig is God? He said, yes. He was angry to hear that Krishna is God, but he was quite bold to say that the pig is God. So I asked him, do you accept that the stool of the pig is God? Yes. So are you willing to take the stool of the pig home and worship in your home? Do puja? Yes! Such a fool, such a rascal. He became angry on hearing that Krishna is supreme. So he doesn't like that Krishna will be worshipped, but he says he's ready to worship the stool of a pig. He would rather worship the stool of the pig than worship Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada said, kick on their head with boots. It's actually a very good prospect, because how can you discuss with such people? If you kick them in the head, then something might get in order. Everything's disordered there. So a good kick might put it back in order. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada, 1966 or thereabouts, with his new followers, who weren't really followers because they were Mayavadis. So, Srila Prabhupada was preaching, and they were using this. Prabhupada didn't have his own edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is at that time, so They were reading from Dr. Radhakrishnan's edition. Prabhupada would read the translations, which Prabhupada thought the translations were okay, but the purports were... The commentary is terrible. Totally impersonalistic. Srila Prabhupada was particularly upset at Dr. Radhakrishnan's commentary on the last verse of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru. Mamai vaishasi yuktvai vam atmanang matparayana. Where Krishna, as he does repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita, points to bhakti to himself. But Dr. Radhakrishna says not that. It's not Krishna that we are to meditate upon, but the unborn, unpersonal within Krishna. In other words, denying Krishna's supremacy, saying that there's something higher than Krishna, which is against the whole message of Bhagavad Gita. So, Srila Prabhupada was speaking against this. And one of his followers protested, well, actually, it is all impersonal. What's wrong? And so then this person who had been with Prabhupada for weeks, listening to Prabhupada, came out with all this stuff about quoting various so-called spiritual leaders and how they're all saying that everything is all one. And Prabhupada was listening and getting more and more angry, but he was quiet. He didn't say anything. And he said, have you finished? He said, no, I've got more to say. And then he was speaking more and all impersonal, how all these great philosophers, they all say that everything is all one. And then when it finished, Prabhupada, this old man, you have to remember, people expect an old man to be just nice and smile. Prabhupada smashed his hand on the lectern and stood up and started shouting, why do you deny Krishna? Krishna says you think of me. You be my devotee. Why are they denying Krishna? It's Krishna. The truth is Krishna. Why are you denying? Why are you envious of Krishna? So it really shocked his followers. And they were discussing among themselves afterwards. And one of them said, well, actually he's right, because the Bhagavad Gita tells to worship Krishna. But we've been reading all the Bhagavad Gita and so many spiritual books and so many spiritual teachings, but we never had the idea to worship Krishna until we heard from Swamiji, from Prabhupada. So he's right, that's true. That's true. Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to worship Krishna. And we've been reading Bhagavad Gita and we never had any idea to worship Krishna. So what Prabhupada says is right. That all these so-called swamis are misleading because they're not presenting Krishna, who presents himself in Bhagavad Gita. So they are all cheating. He's right. But unless Prabhupada had shouted at them, they would have never got the point. There was one devotee in Holland, this was years ago. He'd been initiated for 1 year when he finally realized that Prabhupada meant what he said. He thought that was all just an allegory. He was reading Krishna book. And he thought it was just all like some stories, and ultimately everything's impersonal. Because unless we stress this, then we stick to our misconceptions. And yeah, it's easier to think of impersonal. Then there's nothing to surrender to. Then we don't have to surrender. Then we can just feel ourselves to be spiritual. But there's no actual surrender. Bhakti means there are rules and regulations you have to follow. Because Krishna likes this, and he doesn't like this. Krishna wants us to do this. He doesn't want us to do that. But if we don't stress that, if we say, well, everything's all the same, bhakti is just a feeling in your heart, then there's no need of rules and regulations. It's just a feeling. But when we accept the implication of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ourselves being his eternal servant, then we have to surrender to him and we have to do what he says. We have to act as his servant. We have to give up our independence, our false sense of independence, which is reinforced to the ultimate degree by the bogus propaganda that there is no God, or that everything is God, all is one. So therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas teach this so that we can become devotees. Unless we exorcise the ghosts of impersonalism within our hearts, we cannot be devotees. As long as we have any attraction to this impersonalism and voidism, we cannot actually be devotees, even if we chant 64 or 6,400 rounds a day. We cannot actually be devotees. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada kindly taught this. Therefore, we worship him as an acharya, because he established this. So this is a very boring lecture. I should have told some nice stories, but I didn't tell any nice stories. I only told one or two not very nice stories. Because people don't like to hear this. People think, yeah, we already know this. I finished my Bhakti Shastri exam. Why is he telling us all these things? We already studied that. Now we're ready for higher things. But better hear this. Get out that wicked witch of impersonalism from the heart, of considering it possible that there can be any truth except Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we define Brahma Satyam without reference to Krishna, it's a fact. Brahma Satyam, that's a fact. But if we don't define, as Arjuna did, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, you, Krishna, you are that Supreme Brahma. Unless we define this, unless we're very clear on this, then where is bhakti? Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi shridiva tate. What's the next line? Katam abhyudayo bhavet. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat. Tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. There's no question of the bliss of bhakti arising within the heart of one in whose heart reside the witches of desire for material enjoyment and attachment to impersonal calamity. So Vyasadeva himself, this is supposed to be an introduction to the Vyasa Puja festival. Vyasa means the who divided the Veda, sorted it all out, put it in place. But he also composed two works, Mahabharata, which is also Veda, in one sense, a Paurusheya. But he also compiled the Vedanta Sutra, or Brahma Sutra, that's in which he gives the meaning, actually, of the Veda. And in there he directly refutes all these wrong ideas, although the Mayavadis take it and they misinterpret it. Therefore, his ultimate contribution is Srimad Bhagavatam, in which all these wrong ideas are from the very beginning refuted. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadhyasayataha. That Brahma which is described as the source of all emanations, Yato Va Imani Bhutani Jayante, from which everything emanates, in which everything exists, into which everything ultimately enters. Tad Brahmeti, Tad Vijigasasva. That is the truth. That is the subject of study, of inquiry. That is Krishna. From the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam establishes the truth is Krishna. And everything else, dharma, Projita Kaitava. Kaitava dharma is cheating. So-called religion is rejected, totally rejected from the beginning. So we should understand these points. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the first purports in his Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. Again, this is relevant to this Vyasa Puja festival, that no one should dare to sit upon the Vyasa Sada unless he's conversant with the six systems of philosophy. So, Srila Prabhupada's disciples are not systematically trained in Vedanta as previous acharyas were, but by the grace of Srila Prabhupada in his books, he has given us the essence of understanding all these points. So, we should understand. If we don't understand, then we'll misunderstand. We offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada as Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatari. He who has delivered the Western countries from impersonalism and voidism. And here in India also, we find Srila Prabhupada at a Gita Sammelan with some of the biggest swamis in India, Srila Prabhupada angrily berating them, all big, big swamis. Prabhupada shouting at them, why are you cheating people in the name of Bhagavad Gita? Why do you not teach Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore we worship Srila Prabhupada as the bona fide representative of Vyas. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Is there any question about this? We should understand these points very clearly. Mayavad means everything unclear. I was so attracted to Prabhupada's teachings, so clear, so clear and so sensible. None of this stuff like we get in Christianity, you just have to believe. Why? Otherwise you go to hell. not very appealing to the intelligence. God loves you. God is the most merciful. And if you don't go to this church in particular, you burn in hell forever. Not very convincing. And then impersonalism, everything just love, peace. Everything is all one. Don't know everything. Words. Don't worry about too much about understanding. It's all words. Everything's inexplicable. Very frustrating. If anyone seriously seeking the truth, everything has to be very frustrating until we come to what Prabhupada has given, and then everything's clear. So, what Ramanuja came to give Madhvacharya, all the Vaishnava Acharyas, that is in its full perfection given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we, in our practical preaching, we take support from the Vaishnava Acharyas who preaching in the world of misguided people. We don't preach about Krishna's gopi leelas, not very much. There's so much misunderstanding. Someone at a press conference asked me today, well, we told the four regulated principles, then why no illicit sex when Krishna himself has known for having so many women? So only misconceptions about Krishna. So we have to start at the beginning. When we can say in a general way that Krishna's relationships with the gopis of Vrindavan and the queens of Dwarka, that is fully spiritual. But then people have no idea. People may accept that when we say that, but they have no real understanding what spiritual means. When they hear the word spiritual, then immediately they think, oh, it's all one. Oh, Krishna and the gopis, they're all one, so it's all okay. And I guess if I become spiritual and I can find some spiritual gopis, we can also have relationships and that will also be okay because it's all spiritual. They don't know what spiritual means. So we have to start at the beginning. The Vaishnava Acharyas, they've particularly opposed this impersonalism, which kills all actual, in the name of spiritual understanding, it kills all spiritual understanding. Making it completely, the actual understanding is totally hijacked. The actual understanding is that Krishna is supreme and we're all his servants. But then if you say that, well, everything's all the same, then it just totally negates the actual teaching of Shastra. So therefore, we have to understand Brahma Satyam, and Brahma, that is Krishna. And we are also Brahma in the sense that we are also spiritual beings. But he, Krishna, he is Vibhu Chaitanya. He is the powerful conscious being. And we are Anu Chaitanya. We are also conscious beings, but we are very tiny. Simple point should be very easy to understand. We are controlled. We are not the controllers. We are dependent on the supreme independent. It's philosophically, it's not like very difficult philosophy to understand. It's actually very simple, but people find it difficult to understand because they don't want to understand it. Again, because they have to. If you understand it, then you have to surrender to Krishna. And that's what everyone in this material world, all their endeavor is to avoid surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, they make a very elaborate philosophical construction, but actually if we reduce it to what, if we take what it actually says, it's all nonsense, that everything is all one. It's nonsense. But somehow or other people think that it's true. They like to believe it. So we should oppose this. Yes, so any question about this? Yeah, you should be cutting all these ideas, all wrong ideas. Just like Krishna cuts the head of the demons with Sudarshan Chakra. You should do the same thing. Sudarshan means clear vision. Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra kills the demons. So we should kill the wrong ideas with Sudarshan. Give clear vision of what is reality. What's your name? What? Sudarshan Das. So especially you should clearly understand. Okay, the lecture was okay? It's good enough to get a garland? All right. First they had to listen to the lecture and see if they liked it. Then they thought, okay. All right. Well, maybe he didn't like it, but anyway, he bought the mala, so we might as well give it. Might as well. Okay. So, what's your question? You should go out and smash all the... cut the heads of all the demons by preaching the right philosophy. Yeah, then... Yeah, Lord Krishna says that those who are attached to the impersonal understanding avyaktahi gatir dukam dehavadhiravapyate, those who are attached to the avyakta, they attain a troublesome destination. Yeah, so what's the question? Yeah, those who are attached, avyakta sektak, those whose consciousness is attached to an avyakta, the unmanifest, those who are attached to this, they get a lot of trouble. They go through many troubles. And then ultimately they attain suffering. So? Well, they attain many troubles because they forget Krishna, and when you forget Krishna, you remain in the world of trouble. You remain in the world of difficulty. You don't attain Krishna, who is all bliss. You attain the, you remain in the material world. Do we have any other mic? If not, can it be arranged tomorrow? Organizers? Any organizers here? Can you arrange that? That should be organized. There is one? Okay. Yeah. There we go. It's organized. Instant organization.
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj for Vaikuntha Ekadashi, I went in the tent of one very old group. So they were explaining, they had posters of, they asked my seer and such.
Who is that, Brahma Kumari?
And then I started to argue.
I mean, Brahma Kumari, what are you going to argue with them? I mean, they're just so stupid. How can you even discuss anything with them? They say Lord Shiva spoke the Bhagavad Gita. It's like, Prabhupada gave that example, that after reading the whole Ramayana, you say, well, I read the whole Ramayana and I just want to understand that Sita is the father of who? How can Sita be the father of anyone when she's female? It's just like, you know, you're so stupid, you can't talk even to such people. So, yeah, it's just ridiculous. Such organizations exist for people who they're very, very serious about being in Maya. I mean, they're really serious about accepting something totally stupid. How can you argue with such people? They say, Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Lord Shiva. It's just madness. I wouldn't bother even speaking to them. I mean, you could speak to other people and say, look, these people are insane. But due to this Mayavad idea, say, well, you know, Lord Shiva, Krishna, it's all the same. And like this. I'll take one more question and then finish.
Krishna, you say that Gangadhar Maharaj is one of Mayavadis.
Who?
So, Gangadhar Maharaj.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to know what he used to be. Because I don't know what he used to be.
Well, he makes the same Mayavad conclusion. I'll tell you one thing. One time in Nagpur, I was there with the Padyatra, and he was supposed to be coming to the Kabalte, the Dharamshala, where we were staying. So one of the leaders there thought it was a good idea that we'll welcome him with kirtan because he's a devotee. I said we shouldn't welcome him with kirtan. He's a Mayavad. Why should we give any honor to him? So anyway, they organized a kirtan and we had the deities of Gaur-Nitai there. He was coming for some other work, not to see us, for some reason. So he came, the kirtan was going on, he walked right past. He didn't look, he didn't acknowledge the kirtan, he didn't acknowledge the deities. He walked right past, with an angry look on his face. So, if he was a devotee, he would appreciate the kirtan and the deities, but no. He didn't like it at all. So they teach all, they'll speak of the just like the Panduranga and all that, they'll speak the language of bhakti, but they'll mix it up, just like the Panduranga was, they'll talk about Krishna as supreme, they'll say there's no places Golok, there's no Radharani, you know, just envious. They'll take Krishna's name and then all envious. Just like you see in Gujarat also, they'll have Krishna on the side, Swami Narayan in the middle. They take, because people know Krishna, so they put Krishna as a, like an attraction, and then they try to promote Swaminarayan as superior to Krishna. It's all envy of Krishna.
My question.
It's supposed to be the last question.
In a Prabhupada,
everything is Leela. Everything is what?
Linked up.
Linked up.
So, he says that Buddhist group and what is the use of your voice, you know? Yes. He destroyed matter and there is nothing. Then
he destroyed matter? Well, that's what... He preached voidism. Then Shankaracharya came and preached more or less the same thing. But he restored faith in the Vedas.
And he got spirit and matter. So what is that development?
He said there is Lord Buddha. Actually, as far as I know, Lord Buddha didn't exactly preach voidism, but his followers preached that. He didn't really teach anything very spiritual. It was more just... But later on, his followers developed all kinds of different philosophies, which goes under the name of Buddhism. But Shankaracharya introduced the idea that there is spirit, Brahma Satyam, whereas in Buddhism there is nothing, just nothing. But then what they call Brahma, it's equivalent to the void, the imagined void of the Buddhas, because there's no name, no qualities, no form, no activities, there's nothing there. They say there's only spirit, but it has no qualities. If it has no qualities, then there's no thing. So it's cheating. I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming. And see you all tomorrow morning. Hare Krishna. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada, who is endeavoring to save us from impersonalism and voidism, despite our insane attraction to this material world and all the insane ideas that go in the name of spiritualism within it. Hare Krishna.